This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leading toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
Is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome everyone. I am Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or even introduce a new way of thinking, but most importantly, to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. So tonight, maybe a little different from the topics that we've covered before, but I always want to continue to bring new and interesting guests. So to round off my first year, and yes, this is my 52nd show, I'm going to broaden my horizons, maybe even yours, and even educate ourselves a little bit along the way. So my guest tonight is Master Jack, and together we're going to be chatting a little bit about the leather scene, but from an outsider's perspective. So tonight's show I've decided to call Leather 101 and Education. So I'd like to welcome Master Jack from Vic Leather.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And have to say, a touch nervous. I'm a little bit nervous because it's an something that I've kind of had an interest in from an outsider's perspective, in that I don't know anything about the leather community. And I, while speaking to people over the last few weeks about it, there seems to sort of be a bit of a stigma. So I thought that that might be one of the areas that we touch on as well. But I suppose my first question is, do you think we, sort of as the broader community, do you think that we need to be educated?
I think overall the community needs education generally anyway. But regarding leather, kink, whatever, I think that's all very much a part of what we do. We teach as much as we can. And the more people that learn about what we do, the more people that understand what we do, the less of a stigma is attached to it.
Why do you think people don't understand? Is it scared? Would that be something?
Absolutely. I think people are scared of what they don't know about.
Yeah.
And there's that old stereotypical image of someone beating the living daylights out of somebody to within an inch of their life and not honouring the wants of the person they're doing that to. And I think that needs to be overcome, because that's not what we do.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question, and we sort of diving in quick here, but do you think most people just think that it's only about the sex?
I think many people think it's purely the sex, or purely the kink part of that, the games that people play outside of that.
Mm. Is there a difference then between the leather? So, do you call them communities? So there's the leather community and the kink community. Yep. Are they mutually exclusive? Do they overlap? What's the difference?
They definitely overlap. There's no doubt about that. I came into this community, into the leather community, from the kink community. I'd been around the kink community for probably around 7 to 8 years at the time, when I was introduced to the leather community by a good friend of mine. It was something that I truly resonated with. I loved what I found, so I continued that journey of finding out about leather.
Mm. Can I ask just a little bit about your background, mm-hmm. and perhaps, like, maybe not so much your teenage years, but early 20s and so, was it something that was always a little bit on your radar, or was it totally foreign to you? What can you ever remember, first thought was of this is out there, this is something that's out there?
I will actually go back to my teenage years. As a 14, 15-year-old, I read the original story of O. And my mother stole the book from me, and the book disappeared.
To read as well?
Well, I don't know. I can only assume she read it. But I read the book, and I was very intrigued by what I read. Mm. And then fell into those typical vanilla-style relationships, found girlfriends, found a girl that I loved, and we became married, had a very vanilla marriage for 24 years, and those kink thoughts, those evil thoughts, those wicked thoughts were driven out of my head, and I had a very vanilla marriage for 24 years. When that marriage ended and I started to, live my life again, kink found me again. I met someone and it developed. I haven't looked back.
So without wanting to be too personal, this is not what I meant, but if you're in a situation where you've described it as a vanilla sort of relationship, but if somebody doesn't, does that kind of mean that you have to suppress all of your, does it kind of put pressure on the relationship as well? I know it's a bit of an odd kind of question, but...
Going back to the marriage? I never thought about kink when I was married. I never thought about it. I just went through my married life. And as I said, I found someone when that marriage ended, I found someone that reintroduced me to kink, and it was the lights come on again. Wow, this is something that I remember. Let's go find it.
Is it a natural progression if you're in one of the communities that you would go to the other, or do people often just stay in one?
I don't really know. I found the kink community, and from there I dabbled a little bit in the Gorian lifestyle. And
What's that?
Science fiction, fantasy fiction.
Okay.
But involves very much a world where the male is the master and the female is always submissive.
Mm.
And that didn't quite ring true to me, because I knew some very strong women in my life, and they are equal to me. Mm. They're not submissive to me. They are not less than me. They are equal, if not superior to me. So then I found the leather lifestyle, and when I found leather, I found that was more comfortable with me. It was an equal balance.
So I'm trying to get an idea as why you would be more comfortable in the leather community than the kink community. What are the major, would there be like two or three major differences?
In the kink community, the general thing is it tends to be more about the individual and their own fun. In the leather community, it tends to be a little bit more about the community as a whole and what you can give back to the community. And I love to give back to the community.
What do you mean by that?
I teach as much as I can.
Okay.
I hold several Skillshares or workshops. I put on a competition once a year, a master slave competition once a year.
What is that? We are definitely going to jump right, because I tell you why. I have got pages of questions, and they're going to be bang random, so it's not going to be any kind of chronological order. So
that's fine.
What is that? Tell me what that is.
I felt that there was a need for those that were in master slave and or power exchange relationships to get some, not credibility, some substance to what they do, and to be able to teach
acknowledgement
others.
Too,
acknowledgement
which
is probably the right word, yes. And for them to get that acknowledgement and be able to teach those other people around the same values.
Is it also teaching the right way to do things? And so is it almost like in a controlled environment, so you can pass on the information?
It's controlled at some level.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own beliefs of what their master-slave relationship is, or their leather relationship is. They have their own thoughts and beliefs on that, and many people are are prepared to share those beliefs with other people. And there is no right way or wrong way.
Okay, so it's not a taught way. It's what you what comes from you.
Correct.
Okay,
correct,
understand.
Yes.
Yeah. There was a couple of things I wonder. I just want to go back a little bit.
Sure.
With, can you remember, again, as I said, random questions, can you remember the very first time that you wore leather? Was that awakening? I'm clicking my fingers, which is not good for radio. Was that sort of like, bang, I'm in the place I belong, this is me? And then what it was like the very first time you went into a leather event, maybe?
The first time I wore leather, I was unemployed and I couldn't afford leather. I happened to be in a second-hand shop and found a pair of leather pants and thought to myself, I wonder if they will fit. Oh, my God, I hope they fit. Oh, my God. And I put them on and I felt as hot as I ever felt before in my life, because they fitted and they cost me $20.
Oh,
and I'm
God,
like,
love it.
Yes.
You're an up shopper too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still own those leather pants. I still wear those leather pants to this day.
Wow.
Not right now.
Not right now.
Jeans,
no, unfortunately not. You should have worn them tonight.
Come I was on. Going to, but you know.
And do you remember when you walked in to the first event? Were you scared? Was there intrepidation?
Yeah, the first event I walked into
in
Melbourne, I was 44, 45. Mm-hmm. First event I walked into in Melbourne was an event that's no longer around, unfortunately, called Hush, Hush Now. And Hush was not scary, yet I was scared. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know what I was going to see. I didn't know who I was going to meet. And I just had no idea. No idea.
And were you welcome? We're going to go for a break in a minute. We'll touch on that, this community that you talk of a lot. But were you embraced and looked after?
I was very much embraced.
Yeah.
Some of the people that I met on that very first, second, third time in are still valuable friends in my life.
Mm.
Still very valuable friends in my life. And many people have come and gone over those years. Many people. But there is still a core group of friends that I still value more than anything else.
Mm. And did they kind of take you under their wing? Do they?
Not really. You have to prove yourself.
So is it tough when you walk in?
It's not physically tough. It's mentally a case of, well, are these people going to respect me? Are they going to?
Well, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they respect you? Is it because they don't know you?
Yes, they don't know me. They don't know who I am, what I am, whether I'm just going to come and go in 5 minutes.
Oh,
so
you haven't proved yourself
yet. You've
got
to prove yourself to be worthy of their friendship.
So would you say it's almost like a little bit of an apprenticeship you've got to serve?
Absolutely, yeah.
So how long's your apprenticeship? Apprenticeship?
I would say probably 3-4 years.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you get to a point where you think, hey guys, I'm one of you now? Do you get to that point?
I never received that point until just recently.
Wow. We might come back and ask why that was so important to you. I'm really looking forward to the rest of this hour. It's going to be great. So you are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Okay, Sammy, are you ready? Let's go.
Proudly pushing the buttons of my favourite straight woman every week on Joy 94.9 on Stand Up Straight.
You are with Michelle on Joy 94.9 with Master Jack, and I'm hoping that some others out there listening are enjoying what we're chatting about tonight. We've had a message come in from Stephen. He's actually, and I think this is a really valid question, he has asked us, the uninitiated of course, what the difference is between leather and kink. So we might discuss that in a second, but just before we went to a break, I asked you about how long your apprenticeship, how long it was before you felt you were accepted, and you said quite recently.
Yeah.
What happened?
December last year, I had the honour of receiving my leather cover, which for me meant I was accepted as a leather person by my peers and by the community. Up until that stage, I refused to call myself a master, irrespective of my skills or ability.
So that terminology, so that title that you get, that's only when it's given to you, so you can never claim it until it's given to you?
That's my belief. There are some people out there that will claim the title of master or claim the title of sir, and that's a fair call if that's their choice.
Mm.
My personal belief is you should not claim the title of master until it's bestowed upon you by your peers.
I think I would agree.
And in December last year, my leather family, headed by Master Bella, felt that I was in a place in life where I'd become a master and that I was worthy of that title.
Does that mean you've contributed to that community in a certain way, so therefore you've earned your stripes? What? Yeah?
Yeah, I think I like to contribute. I teach several workshops. I run a master slave contest, and I'm part of the community on a regular basis. I love the community for what it is. I've been on the Vic Leather committee for 2 years, 3 years. I've been a vice president. I'm now a standard committee member. I like to give back to the community as much as I can. Mm. And I think it was all that acknowledgement at the end that my peers went, yeah, you're a leather man, you're a leather person.
Mm-hmm. And within the leather community, I'm sensing that perhaps I might even know the answer to this, but are there a certain set of values that you have to follow?
You don't have to follow anything. It is really your choice.
Yeah.
However, it's my opinion that good leather people will follow the values of Hilt and Hard, which is honesty, integrity, loyalty, and be trustworthy. And if I can, in my life, I try to follow those values as best I can.
They're life's guidelines, I suppose,
I agree.
Wonder then, anybody that's listening or even thinking about the leather community that's not listening, wouldn't associate those sorts of values, I would think. Do you think that people have, and I am going to ask this question, and please don't judge me, do you think that people think that if you're in the leather community, there's some kind of, it's on the word, like a pervert type?
Absolutely.
Angle? Yeah, okay. Thank God you didn't hit me over the head then, because I really didn't want to, but I wondered if that's what people think. So those values that you talk about,
yep,
are totally contradicting what people might think.
Absolutely, yeah. My ex-wife still believes that I'm some kinky pervert.
Hmm.
And I'm not. I'm kinky, yes. I'm perverted in some areas, yes. And I'll wear that cap
with pride.
With pride, exactly, yes. But I have very strong values, and my honesty is paramount, and my integrity is paramount. And if you talk to any of my friends and family, my loyalty is to those people and to the cause is unquestionable.
You just touched on your family then. You must be reading my questions. I was going to ask you about that. So with your family, just in a general sense, do you have children? Do they know what you do? Do they know some of what you do? Do they like, dislike?
Yeah.
All of that.
I have two grown-up children. One of the older of the two is a little bit head in the sand about my lifestyle. He knows, but he doesn't really want to know the details. Doesn't want to know the details because it's dad, you know.
Yeah. Kids are going to be like that though anyway.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. And my daughter, the younger one of the two, is quite aware. In fact, I was a few years ago putting on a kink display at Sexpo. And I was using two single tails on a very voluptuous woman on a cross. I know it's a shock, isn't it? But someone's got to do it, you know? Yeah. I'm in the middle of doing something and I hear, "Hello, Daddy." And I turn around and it's my daughter. And
who was more surprised that who was at Sexpo, I wonder?
I don't know. She was 19 or 20 or something at the time with her boyfriend. And I, you know, I didn't have an issue with it. She was aware prior to that, to see me actually in action. It wasn't a sexual activity, so that's okay, because you don't want to see your dad doing sexual stuff, do you? But
no.
But to see a kink activity in a room full of people, I think that was quite enlightening for her, and I think she realized that what I did wasn't just being a dirty old man, it was something that was truly valuable and something that was had substance.
Did you worry that they might reject you or that they would think ill of you and that sort of, and friends, whether they've also accepted you, or do they know?
My son didn't accept it very much at the start. Mm. He was a little bit, as I said, a bit of an ostrich, head in the sand, hoped it'd all go away. But now he understands and he accepts it. I have to admit, my friends have changed significantly. I think most of my friends now are all kink or leather related. Mm. I have very few of my old friends left, and that's probably been more of my own choice than anything else.
I was going to say, it's a combination of perhaps your choice and
you move in circles, and your circles become your influence. I'm going to try and say this correctly. I think it's Aristotle that says you become who you associate with. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Aristotle. I could be wrong.
Someone famous.
Yes.
With wise words.
Yeah. And I have become who I associate with. Yeah. I associate with good people, and I like to think I've become a good person. Mm. I like to think I'm good at what I do. I enjoy that.
So just going back to the question that we had from Stephen, where he was saying what the difference was between kink and leather.
Yep.
Can you give us a bit of an idea what those differences are?
I think the kink is more about the individual and the individual's activities and the individual's pleasure. Leather is about that as well, but it has a little bit more of a community mind to it.
Yeah, so we touched on that before, but how is that? I'm not quite sure what that means.
It's hard to quantify, to be honest with you. There is a big crossover in the kink community between the kink activity and what we do in that part of our world, into the leather community, into the gay and lesbian community, the transgender community. There are, and then we said before about the Gorian lifestyle and all that, they all intertwine and they all have their own values, and it's hard to define which one's which in many ways. I've bordered on most of them at some stage.
You just touched on something then. Is there a large GLBTI community within these communities as well?
I think it's significant, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, in the leather community, primarily, the leather community was born out of the gay leather man, the gay man. Mm. The female component of that community has been reasonably small, but has continued to grow and grow significantly, and in recent years it's become quite a component. The hetero community or the straight community is probably a little more of a recent convert to leather, because it's been a little bit of that thing out there in the ether, you know, what's leather, what is it really, how can a straight person be involved in a back in the day, a gay leather man's lifestyle, and it's quite a challenge for a lot of the straight leather people, the straight kink people, to understand what leather is about.
Really?
Yeah, because they still think it's about being gay. They still think it's about men in dark seedy bars doing naughty things to each other in an aggressive manner.
So we're coming now to the stigma, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
So would that be the biggest hurdle, do you think, to people's allowing themselves to understand? Is there also a mindset that, hey, if I'm asking, does that mean I'm keen, I'm interested? Do you think people think if they're asking, then that must mean that they're interested in these communities or whatever? Yeah,
I think there's a lot of people that actually are interested, but they are afraid to put their hand up and say, yes, I'm kinky, or yes, I am leather inspired, just like it is very much a stigma for people to come out in the community with their kink or their sexuality.
So you use that word, so that those coming out words are also used in this same situation.
Absolutely.
As well.
I've got good friends that have been in the kink community for many, many years and keep their kink within the walls of their home.
Why? Is it because people just, is it back to that stigma?
It's the stigma of who they are and what they are, their job. They can lose their job or lose their profession. Doctors, lawyers, other professional people that are afraid to announce to their friends and their neighbourhood that they like to spank another person's bottom, or they like to have aggressive sex or whatever that might be.
Do you then think, maybe you can probably only answer this for yourself, but do you think then is it a little bit of a mission for you to educate other people and to talk, and you know, maybe just even to, like what we're doing tonight in just regular conversation, but do you feel that that's something that you have to do?
It's something that I enjoy doing, but it is something that I believe is part of the responsibility of being, for want of a better term, an elder in the leather community. A straight elder, but still an elder nonetheless. I've been around long enough to know that we need to be out there teaching people as, not aggressively, but certainly teaching people.
And, yeah. And as we touched on a bit earlier before about setting an example and, yeah. And teaching them safely, I suppose,
yes.
that kind of thing. Just getting back to your family, I'm just curious as to whether your children's friends knew, and was that a little bit of a bragging rights type of thing?
I don't believe my children's friends know or knew. I know that my daughter's last partner, he knew, he was aware. He was standing beside her when she saw me at Sexpo.
It's a giveaway.
Along with a couple of her girlfriends. so I think that was part of the knowledge. My son wouldn't tell anybody, and I get that. My ex-wife wouldn't tell anybody either. She's quite aware.
Is there that fear of judgment, though, do you still have?
I don't have a fear of judgment.
You don't?
No.
At all?
No.
Did you, though, early on?
In the early days I did, yes, and it cost me a job. But that was my own fault as well. I was a little bit too out than what I should have been in the area that I was working in. It was my fault. So it cost me some employment. But since then, I've been keeping it under wraps and only talking to people that I clearly are aware that they have an interest.
So there's a trust thing that you have to have in other people, I suppose,
yep,
isn't
absolutely.
It? Because they're going to be – people will judge you as you've found.
Yes.
And as often happens through life. I find it fascinating, though, that you've had to say the words coming out. I find that I hadn't even anticipated hearing that.
The coming out is as scary, not as quite as scary, but I believe just as a challenge for kink people as it is for those in the gay and lesbian community in some level.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
We have to go for another break and have a song, Master Jack. I've loved chatting with you. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
You are listening to Michelle and Master Jack, and hoping you guys are enjoying the conversation that we're having in here. I really am. And we've had a message come in, and this is to you, Master Jack.
Yep.
If you are a master, then you have a slave. How does that work, please? Are they like partners or like relationships? Great question.
Great question.
I wish I'd thought of that one.
I'm very fortunate. I have a beautiful slave. We have a relationship. She is my partner. We live together 24/7. We have a master-slave relationship that works 24/7. Yet we are partners. We're equal. We decide together what we do. I make the ultimate decision, of course, but we decide together.
There's going to be feminists or not, or women out there, they're going to say, how can you do that, or whatever, okay, how would you?
Each to their own, I say.
Of course.
You know, there are many relationships out there where the controlling person in that relationship is a female and the submissive is a male. What's the difference? You know, we all have the right to choose the type of relationship that we choose to have. Mine happens to be a dominant male with a submissive female. However, in the bigger part of the world, she has quite a strong position in her life.
So is that your entire relationship that is a master-slave? So in everything that you do your entire life, I mean, like, who pays the bills, who cleans the house? I mean, are we talking everything?
Yes, effectively. Yeah? Effectively, yes. We have a very equal relationship. Like, for instance, I vacuum the floors. I mop the floors.
Yeah.
That's a physical thing because my slave actually has a bad back. But it doesn't stop me from doing that because it's a responsibility for us to run an equal household.
Mm-hmm.
We pay the bills together. We do everything together, you know. She goes to bed before I do each night. I take her a cup of tea.
So sometimes it's a 24/7 type master-slave relationship.
It's always 24/7.
But for some it might be only at a particular time for play or recreation, whatever.
Some people have their master-slave relationship as an adjunct to their other relationships.
Yeah.
They might have almost like a semi-vanilla relationship at home and only have their master-slave relationship at a different time, a different place.
So two questions. Can you have your regular relationship that you're in, and then could you be outside of could you also, could you have a master-slave relationship with somebody else other than your own partner, or numerous relationships like that?
You can do. In fact, my partner came to me as a polyamorous woman, and I was in a polyamorous relationship at the time.
Just for those that are unsure what that is, a polyamorous?
Polyamorous relationship is multiple loves, mm-hmm. many loves, and my partner had a vanilla relationship prior, and then she had a master-slave relationship with me.
Concurrently?
Concurrently, yes.
Yeah. Wow. Gee.
So that was a very interesting time for us both. And I had a master-slave, sorry, a dominant-submissive relationship with another girl at the time.
So you had a joint relationship and then you each had one outside of
Correct.
Your relationships.
Correct.
Okay. How does that... see, I'm asking these questions from a very naive perspective and probably thinking of these questions from a straight, some might say vanilla type of situation.
That's
okay.
So
does jealousy come into play?
Jealousy is a big thing when it comes to polyamorous relationships.
Mm.
And it takes, from my understanding and my experience, it takes a very strong relationship between the two primaries to allow secondaries to take place.
Is there, there's some of the terminology, dominatrix and submissive,
yep.
are they some, so is that the same as a master slave?
In many ways, yes.
Yeah.
There is some confusion in that area because there are words like mistress and dominatrix that might imply a paid relationship, but that's because the television, commercial television, promotes that stereotypical image of the professional dominatrix or professional mistress with a male client.
Is that because they can't really explain it, or they have to simplify it and make it a certain way?
They dumb it down for the vanillas. But getting back to your question before, as I said before, I ran a master slave contest. The winners of the 2013 master slave contest were a lesbian couple.
So there you go. That flies in the face of everything we just said about you.
Yeah. So they're a wonderful couple, an amazing couple. They have a true master-slave relationship in their own right. They teach within the community an amazing, at a really good, amazing level, especially about leather and leather care.
Mm.
They're very, very valuable people in the community.
Don't know what happened there. that noise, I don't know. We're in a different studio tonight. So with the jealousy thing, that's what you were saying before, so that's a really hard thing. So another word I was thinking of before was trust.
Yes.
So how is trust a really big...
Trust is huge.
Huge. I knew that before I even asked that.
If I'm going to allow my slave to have a relationship with somebody else, I have to trust my slave to be open and honest with me, and I have to trust that she is going to be open and honest with the other person, whoever that person is.
Do you talk beforehand before you're going out to your respective other relationships? Do you set boundaries for each other?
Yes, very much.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. On an equal level, I might add as well.
Yeah.
You know, we both have the right to veto the other person's relationship or potential relationship.
So what if they want to and you don't? Want them to go with the other person?
It doesn't happen. And vice versa. I want to go with someone, a particular person, and my partner doesn't like that idea, well, I don't do it.
Yeah.
It's there's no question.
Have you ever been challenged by something that you haven't been able to deal with? I've probably worded that wrong. Have people presented things, questions to you that you've just not been able to answer?
I don't think so. I do get questions from time to time about my lifestyle, and I try and answer them all as honestly and as openly as I can. And sometimes that scares people.
So have you had weird, like people ask you really weird, and I've asked some myself tonight, but have you had really weird, stupid kinds of questions? I know that people are always going to want to...
Yeah.
maybe try and catch you off guard or bring you down or something like that.
But I've had questions based on the sexual component of what I do.
Can I just interrupt?
Yeah.
We've hardly touched on that.
Yes.
And the hour's nearly up. And I find that is really, really interesting. And what we've probably done is proved, in a sense, that it isn't just the sexual.
It's not just sexual.
Everybody, I would think, a lot of people, would have thought that's what it's about. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we have a master-slave relationship, irrespective of the sexual component that takes place. When the sexual component does take place, yes, I'm in control and I take what I want to take.
But that's in agreement with both
parties. That's exactly
parties.
Right, yes.
100%.
100% agreement.
Yes.
And if you talk to her, she will tell you that she has no say, yet she has all say. She has the right at any stage in our relationship to say, I don't like that anymore. I don't want to do it.
Mm.
We then reevaluate and renegotiate, and it could end our relationship depending on what it is.
Mm.
Unlikely, because our relationship is rather special, but potentially it could end the relationship because we have a master-slave relationship.
Can you ever swap? I'm not saying have you or have you not, but could it ever happen that you...
That I become a slave?
Yeah, that it would turn... Yeah. Or is that too much messing with your head?
Oh, dear.
Have you ever been asked that before?
I have been asked whether or not I have submitted before. I've been a submissive before, and I haven't.
Are you curious?
No.
No?
No.
The shaking of the heads is... Okay, so is it that you are just one or the other?
No, there are many switches out there that enjoy both sides of the coin. Myself, I don't like pain. I don't like when I'm not in control. Mm. I'm a bit of a control freak, and I have to admit that.
Mm.
So therefore, I don't like pain, and I don't like when I'm not in control of a situation. Yet, as I said before, when my partner goes to bed, I will take her a cup of tea.
Mm.
That's part of me wanting to make sure she's happy. If I have a happy slave, then we have a happy relationship. Much as she says, if she has a happy master, we have a happy relationship.
You've just, I think, again, maybe people think that in these situations, that there's always someone that's unhappy. There's someone that's getting what they want and someone that isn't getting at all anything that they want. So I think tell me if this is not right.
Yep.
What you're trying to get across is this is 100% complicit.
Yep.
Both people or whoever else you're with are wanting to be there doing whatever you're doing,
yes.
And it can change at any time in agreement.
Yep.
I wish we had another hour. we are just going to go for a quick break. You are with Michelle and Master Jack on Joy 94.9.
I'm Dean Arcuri, and when listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9, it's not about same-same, it's all about being different with Michelle on the mic.
Thank you, everyone, for hanging in there with what I hope you've enjoyed a show as much as I've enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it.
It is.
It's been great fun.
It has, yeah.
I have a question for you, actually.
Oh, don't.
Go on.
Okay. My husband probably is listening and about to write notes.
Have you ever had an experience of leather or kink yourself? Have you been to a leather club? Have you been to a kink club? Do you have those desires in the back blocks of your mind somewhere?
Ooh, da, da, da.
Da, da, da.
Do you know what? If you'd asked me that 5 years ago, I would have gone, oh, no, I can't. I'm too scared or no, that's not for me. And I'll be really, really frank here. I think if I go into a leather club or an event that I am intruding and I feel that it's not my space and I feel that I should respect the people that are there because that is their scene or their community, whether I be welcomed or not, I don't is not relevant to me, but I feel that it's wrong for me to be there, and I think that I might be viewed as being there to have a bit of a perv, or it's some brownie points that I've won, or a bit of a a bit of a perv fest or something. Yep. That's how I think I would be viewed. So that's why I would never that's why I feel that I would never go to an event. Not to say that I'm not curious, but I would pick the event that I go to. I wouldn't want to offend anyone. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the kink community would value that. You see, we do get a lot of spectators.
Yes, that's the word.
We do get a lot of that. And how we deal with them is a bit of a challenge sometimes.
I would think, yeah.
Yeah.
We've had another message that's come in. Hi, Michelle. I remember once looking at a magazine with friends depicting the S&M scene. One girl said that it was so degrading to women, and the other girl said, hang on, she's the one holding the whip. So the women can be in power, and that's from Scott. Thank you. That's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of women in power. Some of my best friends are females in power.
Mm.
Some of my best friends are males in power. It doesn't matter what your gender is or your sexuality. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care. I honestly don't care. All I care is that the relationship you have is safe, it's consensual, and everyone involved is having fun. Mm.
That is the perfect way to wrap up the hour, Master Jack. So I couldn't have put it any better. So I really, really, really do thank you so much. I've had a great time. I was nervous, as I said. I was a little bit nervous about what hour I was going to pose the questions, and you've been so frank and honest, and I really, really appreciate it. I have to mention an event that is on at the Laird on Saturday afternoon,
and you can probably
tell us what that is really quickly.
That's Meet and Greet, presented by Vic Leather. It's a very special opportunity for all genders and all sexualities to attend the Laird Hotel, which, generally speaking, only allows men in. It's a very special event, and it will raise some money for Vic Leather and raise money for the community.
And there's it's open to women.
Anybody can go.
I think there's a particular woman there that's going to be there on
I do believe someone's going to get a hole punched through them and a bit of jewellery inserted.
And who would that be?
Oh, I don't know.
She's talking about Annie.
I'm actually seeing Sammy Whitehead all coy and shy.
No, no.
Sammy's going to be there as part of her radiothon
show from my fundraiser from the Wet Spot. So yes,
excellent.
A proud Vic Leather member.
Yes.
So really, really happy to go down and support Vic Leather.
Can people join up on the day?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes,
beautiful.
There will be membership forms available. Everything with it.
Okay,
we donate so much back to the community.
We'll have that information on that social media. We really, really have to wrap up. The fabulous Joy from Spirit Lounge is about to pound the door down. Thank you, Jack, so much. I've had a ball this week, and big birthday show next week. It is my first birthday celebration. Brian on the front desk, thank you. Thank you to Sammy. Up next is a Spirit Lounge. Good night, everyone. You've been on Joy 94.9. Stand Up Straight with Michelle Barber.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.